Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Cufflinks.com. Elevate your look. Elevate your style. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code DVR20. That's just like the name of this show, DVR20, and get 20% off your order. No minimum. Whenever you want, put it in. You'll get 20% off. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code DVR20. And January, we got the national championship coming up on Monday for NCAA football. And we've got the Super Bowl and the playoffs starting this weekend for the NFL. Use code FOOTBALL30 and get 30% off all NCAA and NFL cufflinks, ties, tie bars, handkerchiefs, tote bags, socks, awesome stuff, pins, lapel pins, I call them. Lapel pins. Sounds fancier if it's on your lapel. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. I can't stress again. Just go to Cufflinks and look what they have. That's all I'll tell you because you're going to be blown away. I can't even describe. I try three times a week. I got to tell you, I'm communicating it psychically to you now. Close your eyes. ESP, cufflinks.com/DVR. Do it, baby. So awesome. 30% off all NCAA and NFL. Use code FOOTBALL30 and use DVR20 whenever you want. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Let's get on with the show. Today is Friday, January 4th, 2019, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. It's Friday. I ain't got a job. I just got a podcast to do. That's my job, baby. It's Listener Top 10 of 2018 here on Daily DVR. Before we go on with the show, remember to go to dvrpodcast.com, find us on Twitter at dvrpodcast, and email us like the people on the show did today. Email us at dvrpodcast@gmail.com, and you're going to find that I'll listen, baby, and I'll do a show like this. This is all feedback today. It's fantastic. I've got 10 or 12 pages of feedback to read. Hopefully I'll save my lungs and they'll work throughout this podcast. I got feedback from Andy. I got feedback from Brett, Newbie, Gina, Eileen, DJ Tim Hines. Am I forgetting anybody? I think that might be it. Yes, that's it, but that's a lot. Scott, that's a lot, baby. I got a lot to talk about. I got lists of film, podcast, TV. It's great stuff. So I hope everyone enjoyed Heath and I doing our top 10s on Wednesday. That was a blast. Podcast came out a little late in the day. I appreciate everyone's patience. That's going to happen sometimes, and especially because I live on the West Coast, you know. I guess the majority of the country in America lives in the Eastern time zone where I used to live my whole life. But you know what? The West is the best. You wake up in the morning and guess what? Everybody's already been awake for 3 hours running around. That's why everybody's chill out here. That's my theory about why people are chiller in the West, because we get up later. Everybody's always chiller when you get up later. All right, I'm going to start it out. I got great lists and I just want to kind of jump right into it. But I have one thing I need to tell you. One thing. True Detective is coming back on HBO this Sunday. Okay? I'm super excited for it. I will be covering True Detective on this show. I'm going to cover each episode just like I covered each episode of Better Call Saul and each episode of The Mayans. When those shows went off, I was trying to get back to that format, and I'm happy to start it off. I'll just be doing one show, and I'm going to be doing True Detective Season 3. I'm super excited. I'm going to try to have guests when I can, and hey, I'm going to be looking for feedback as well. So if you're going to be watching it, send your feedback in, and I'll make it part of the show. So one episode per week of Daily DVR is going to be dedicated to True Detective on HBO for the next 10 weeks. I think it's 10 episodes. I don't know. I'm going to find out with you. I'm trying something different here where I just kind of pick up a show and go for it. You know, I'm not launching a whole new feed like I've done in the past. So it's going to be just as interesting. I think I had a lot of fun doing that. Or I should say, I think it was successful and I had a lot of fun doing it with Better Call Saul and Mayans. I feel like I really covered them and I did those podcasts and I was doing this podcast at the same time. So it's kind of a double score for me, right? I like it. So check out True Detective on HBO this weekend. Send in your feedback. And I'll probably be doing that on Wednesdays because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the notes and everything Sunday night. Who knows? I might surprise you and rock it out on a Monday. We'll see. But I'm also hoping to collaborate with the Shat on TV guys. Those are good guys. And we had been able to in the past when they first started podcasting. We talked about Westworld together. That was fun. And I'm interested in having one of those guys on the Daily DVR show to talk about True Detective because they'll be covering it as well. All right, so let's get on with the feedback. We're going to start it out right, start it out on a positive note, and that's with number one, newbie dudes, baby. Hi, hope all is well. Sending my top 10 of 2018 list here with a few words on each show. Starting at number 10, Legion. Creative, imaginative, fun sci-fi. That's season two. I kind of got two or three episodes into Legion and I stopped watching it, newbie. And what I thought to myself is I probably am going to enjoy this better binging it. I think it went in a highly artistic and, like you're saying, creative and imaginative direction. And for something like that, I find them to be better binged because I can kind of feel my way through it. Like some episodes, it's better to watch two and then stop, right? It keeps your interest. Some it's better to, it takes you a couple days to watch one episode because it's so deep or involved. It reminds me of Twin Peaks. When that came back, some of them I watched two, three in a row, and then I'd hit one and I'd be like, yo, I got to wait a little bit here. So I'm going to get back to it. Thanks for reminding me that, newbie. Number nine, Orange is the New Black. Very entertaining drama comedy about women's prison. Yes, I believe that's in season six or maybe it's going into its seventh season. I watched the first two seasons and still got a great fan base. That's good. I'm glad that you're still watching it. I think it's coming to an end. Call the Midwife at number eight, UK period drama about brave women and friendships, like a warm, sweet apple pie. Newbie, I have been wanting to watch this forever, and it came out when Lachlan was about maybe two or three, because we were still living in North Carolina, and I remember watching the first episode and being like, whoa, this is still too soon. Like, this is making me so nervous, because we had the kid, you know, and for me, that was just... Yes, I'm one of those guys who constantly is like, you know, I'll be there with my wife and someone will say like, so how was your pregnancy? And I'll be like, oh my God, I was so worried the entire time. My wife will be like, it was fine. You know, it was fine. She's so less dramatic than me. That's why we make such a good match. She's just like, I was healthy, honey. We have a kid, you know, everything went well. Think about all the people where it didn't go well. And I'll be like, I know, but I was so nervous. She'll be like, you're nervous about everything. Chill out. So Call the Midwife is something that I can come back to. Now it's been 6 years. I think I can take it. And I like the way you describe it. Warm, sweet apple pie. Number seven, Animal Kingdom. Another one. Very entertaining, easy, fun California crime drama. This is definitely one that I'm going to get back to because I loved the first season. And then I started taping the second season and Perry didn't want to watch it. She was like, I don't know if I'm into it. And then it just kind of, by the time we had communicated about it, it had built up and I hadn't watched it and all this other stuff. Love it. Animal Kingdom, everyone, on TNT. That is great. And it's got a great cast, too. A great cast. And it is a lot of fun. Number six, Suits. Luxurious New York City great lawyer stuff. Suits. That's what Meghan Markle was on, right? The princess. Is she a princess? Right? Princess and prince. Is that what it is? It sounds weird saying that, doesn't it? I guess she is. She's a princess. All right. Moving on. I never watched Suits. This is something that at some point I felt like I would check it out. This is a USA show and is now off brand for them. I believe the show's ending because they kind of ended their Blue Skies. They had those Blue Skies dramas, right? Suits, the one where there's a guy who is a fake doctor, or he's a doctor for rich people. There was the spy one. There was like three or four or five shows that were all set like near the beach, or it was very bright. Even if it was like this city in a city, it was like very bright, kind of fast moving drama. And, like semi-procedural, reminding me a bit of if there was a whole channel of like Ally McBeal. That's really what the basis is. When you look back on it, those Fox dramas of the late 90s, mid to late 90s, early 2000s, where that was kind of the introduction of that kind of slick, well, like what they call blue sky drama. So, but Suits, someday I will check it out. This is another one that I watched. Ooh, newbie, you're always picking out stuff that I need to watch. I love it. Number five, Poldark. Another lovely underrated costume drama. And this is for those who I think are fans of looking at hot dudes too, right, newbie? Because I think that's what I've heard about this show. I've heard that it's like very fun, like light, and that I know the guy who stars in it is a very handsome dude. And I think it's got a cast of handsome dudes. And I watched like one or two episodes and I kind of didn't understand what the tone was, but I see where it is. And it's kind of, I like that you like, just like lovely is a good word for it. Number four, and this one I've talked about before, Outlander, dreamy, beautiful costume drama. I see a theme here, newbie. Outlander, I know, is a critical darling. A hustler, Aaron, loves it. And my wife and I have decided we're going to watch this show. It's kind of sexy too, right? That's what I heard. Newbie's list is kind of, newbie's getting fiery. Number three, just started rewatching it. Not rewatching, just picked up and have watched four episodes in the past 3 days. Travelers, incredibly thrilling Canadian sci-fi drama about time travel. Yeah, I'm back in it. I fell off at the very end of season one. I don't know why I always do that. Like sometimes I'll stop and it'll always be before the last episode. And I'll be like, yeah, I saw everything except the finale. I don't know why. Maybe I think the finale's going to get me back into it, or I'm holding off on it or something. I don't know. But I did that and it was almost a year. And then 2 or 3 days ago, I was reminded of Travelers by Grandpa James, shout out. And who else? There was, I think, newbie, you have mentioned Travelers. There's a couple other people here that reminded me about it. So when I finished watching Stargate Universe, I said, I'm either going to do Travelers or I'm going to do Altered Carbon. And I did Travelers and I'm loving it. I got right back into it. It took me a little time to reacquaint myself and remember what was going on and with the characters too. I notice there was kind of a change from the first and second season. And I think I notice a little bit more depth in the second season, both character-wise and story-wise, and what they're willing to do. Not such a build-up like there was in the first season to this event, you know? Now it seems like I'm trying to kind of figure out what this season is really going to be about, but I'm very interested. So, Travelers, very cool. It's on Netflix. Number two, Daredevil. Exciting, surprisingly deep, beautiful action. This was supposed to be a great season of Daredevil. I believe it was season 3 with Kingpin, and it's supposed to be really good. Though when I asked, I think Glenn said, what happens if I don't watch the first, I don't remember who it was. Anyway, if I don't watch the first 2 seasons, am I going to get this? And they were like, yeah, you should probably watch the first 2 seasons. So I don't know if I'm ever going to get around to watching the first 2 seasons, but maybe someday I will. These shows are going, you know, they're all getting canceled, even though I know a new Punisher season just came out, but they're going to be on Netflix forever. So, but that's great. I'm glad you like it. And newbies number 1 of 2018, Ozark. Love it. Thrilling, beautiful cinematography, fascinating characters. Now, newbie, you got me into Ozark. I watched season 1. I really enjoyed it, but I fell off in season 2. I don't know. Does it come back? And I think I'm not the only one. I'm reading a lot of tweets and listening to podcasts where people are like, oh, Ozark was kind of a surprise in the first season. And I binged right through it. I really liked it. But then I felt in the second season, it was just kind of ambling around because they really went for it in season 1. And I feel like they just kind of lost the plot a little bit in season 2. I think we talked about it too. You had written in and said you agreed season 2 was a little bit of a drop off, but you love that world. And that's what it's all about, right? These are personal lists. Newbie, thank you very much. You're the best. And everybody, go over to Twitch and just create a Twitch account and then subscribe to Newbie Dues just for newbie. And then guess what? You'll get a little note. And then when you can, you just click on your phone on the notification and up comes Twitch and there's newbie talking and having fun. I love it. I like Twitch. You know, newbie, that's why I think about doing this show on YouTube. And I keep on talking about it, but at some point I'll do it. And I'll just go on the YouTube like you go on the Switch. And then maybe I'll switch over, or the Twitch, not the Switch. Did I say Switch? I'll Twitch over to Switch and I'll say hi and we'll be on it together. A YouTube Twitch Switch. All right. You're the best, newbie. Thank you very much. And she also does give us a bonus rewatch of Lost. Still my all-time favorite. Oh man. And now I have Hulu too. And that's where Lost is. And it's got the commercials too. It'll be just like, I'll kind of think it's fun to have the commercials watching Lost on Hulu. If they're in the right places, and I'll feel like I'm watching it again. Right? That's fun. All right. Hugs from newbie. Hugs back to you, newbie. Thank you very much. All right. We got 2 lists from the man himself, my co-host, via feedback, Ando Calrissian. My top 10 movie list is a little lacking this year. Having a toddler in the house has drastically limited the ability we have to go to the theater. Yep. So there is a lot of high-quality movies I know I haven't seen. I feel the same way, bro. Unfortunately, most of the stuff I did see in the theater is nowhere near my top 10 of the year. However, as my movie watching has declined, my TV viewing, thanks in part to the DVR podcast, thank you, Andy, has drastically increased. Top 10 movies that I saw in 2018. I was looking at Andy's list, and it made me realize that I've seen a lot of movies that maybe I should do a top 10 list, because I thought I missed all the movies that came out. And then I realized when I was looking at other people's top 10 and Andy too, he was like, I've seen a lot of these movies. I think I have seen a lot. So maybe I'll do a top 10 movie list. Maybe I'll do that like next week or something. All right. At number 10. Ant-Man and the Wasp, another fun Marvel movie in the never-ending MCU. Agreed. It was fun. I liked it. Number 9. You know I love this, Andy. Upgrade. A super fun sci-fi movie that unfortunately hasn't gotten its due yet. It's gotten its due here. I suspect this will become a cult classic in future years if it hasn't already. I think it really is. You know, my movies of the year are Upgrade and Mandy. Those were my 2 movies that just blew me away, because they were just so creative. And Upgrade is so much fun, and it's so different, and it just does a great job of doing its job. You know, that's what I like to say. But it's also fun. And that's what is good about it too. It's artsy and fun. Number 8, Game Night. Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are so fun in this movie. It's also a lot smarter movie than I was expecting. Ditto. My wife and I really liked Game Night. And really for me, it was Rachel McAdams. And I think Jason Bateman showed how awesome he is, that he is not, does not need to be a scene stealer, right? So many people, like for instance, I was watching, what's her name? Melissa McCarthy. Is that her name? Right. She was in that movie where she's like, she goes back to college with her kid. She has to steal every scene, you know, and Jason Bateman can be funny in a movie and be understated. And I like that. Number 7, Mission Impossible Fallout. Loved it so much. What a great movie. This might be the best action franchise in movies, period. I 100% agree with you. Mission Impossible is the best. Look at all those movies. It is better than Bond. It is better than Fast and Furious. It's not even close, Fast and Furious. I think it's way better than Bond. I think you take the set pieces, the action set pieces that they come up with in Mission Impossible, and you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie, some of the Bond ones are fantastic, and even the Fast and the Furious ones are stupidly fun and ridiculous, but nobody gets it like Mission Impossible does, where you are nervous about what's happening, because I feel like there's stakes in this movie. And in all of these Mission Impossible movies, that's what sells it for me. There's no stakes for me in the Fast and Furious. There's no stakes in James Bond. He's never going to die. The Marvel movies, you got two of them that are coming up next on your list. Number 6, Black Panther. Number 5, Infinity War. They do have stakes. And I feel like these two movies gave Marvel more stakes, like kind of started in Civil War. Now, you know, I've become more of a fan, but I love the Mission Impossible movies. I mean, if you consider the Marvel movies action movies, I kind of feel like they're sci-fi movies, but they are action movies. But Mission Impossible, this would be on my list too, definitely. Number 6, Andy had Black Panther. I know Axel, that's me, isn't a huge fan of Michael B. Jordan, but I love him in this. I thought Killmonger was one of the best villains that has existed in the MCU so far. I loved the whole vibe of this movie. Now, I'll say this. I'm not a huge fan of Michael B. Jordan because I feel like he does kind of the same shtick. I don't think he has much range. But I rewatched Black Panther recently. Not the whole thing, but little bits. I love that it's on Netflix. Just like I rewatched Infinity War just this week. And I'm probably going to do it again. And I have to agree with you. I was wrong about him. He kills in this movie. He doesn't need to have the range to be in this movie because he's doing what he's good at. And I think he's really good at this character. So I'm going to go along with you on that, Andy. And I'm going to say that I'm now a fan of Michael B. Jordan in this movie. But as we've seen with the Creed movie, like, I just don't think this guy I don't think he can carry a film. I know that's not nice to say. I just don't think he can. I think he needs to go be in some plays, or he needs to do a couple more indie movies. He needs to kind of take a step back from this big stuff and find more like his center and be, so he could be in a comedy. He could be in a, I just, like, there were some comedies he did, like that one with Miles Teller, where he was okay. I felt him reaching. I just think he can do better. That's all. But I'm going to have to rewind my opinion on that and say he was good in that. And you're right. He was good as Killmonger. And especially that first scene and the way he's just so flippant sometimes in the film and so arrogant and confident. And it really, I was allowing myself to be distracted by my own opinion. That happens sometimes. All right, at number 5, Andy has Avengers Infinity War. I think this movie gets better on repeated viewings. There is so much stuffed into this movie, it's hard to catch everything going on in it. Plus, it has a killer ending, a theater viewing experience I will never forget. I have never seen so many kids crying when the credits were rolling. Andy, I don't know whether you wrote that kind of twirling your mustache. you don't have a mustache, do you? Or if that's supposed to shock me. But it does, and I agree with everything you said. I love this movie. And I know that I am a recent convert, and I also kind of tend to get into things. My wife is always telling me that. She'll be like, you just go from 0 to 60. Like, you like something, then all of a sudden you love it. And I'm like, that's just how I am. I get obsessed. And I watched this movie again a couple days ago. And everything actually except for the last 5 minutes, I was just falling asleep. The movie is so long, but I kept on watching it. And then I watched the last 5 minutes. And then after that, I was like, I got to watch this again soon. It really is a very fun film. And it does feel like, to me, and I've said this before, and it's no slight on the movie, I think it does get better on repeated viewings, but it really feels to me like a 4-episode miniseries. And I don't dislike that. When the Russo brothers said that they thought the 2-hour movie was dying or dead, and they talked about a new kind of experience where you go for a longer period of time, maybe they're right. Maybe it's a different, maybe I'm thinking of it in old fashioned terms too. I'm trying to fit a movie into a preconceived box of TV. And with this new idea that some theaters are having of doing breaks during the movies, intermissions, which they used to do, maybe even making the kind of playing the music in the beginning, making it more of an experience when you get there too, with more of these theaters where they have the concessions like right inside the theater where you're sitting on couches. So many of the theaters in Portland are like that. I don't know about the rest of the country. I would assume they'd probably come to a place like Portland first, you know, like Portland, Austin, New York, you know, just places that you have people who are into that kind of stuff and more hipsters. And I dig it because for me, part of the movie theater experience, I can't even fit in a seat and I'm uncomfortable the whole entire time. And then people are looking at their phones. And so if it's like a living room, it just kind of chills it out. But anyway, long story short, I think this is a different kind of film. I would have it on my top 10 list too. I really enjoyed it. And it's freaking dark. And I like that. And the end is fucking crazy. I did not think they were going to go there. I just thought they're going to cheap it out somehow. And perhaps the second movie will, but I don't care because they did it. And you're right. The end is, wow, that is a great ending. It really is. All right, number 4, Roma. The filmmaking in Roma is incredible, now streaming on Netflix. Every second of this movie could be framed and hung on the wall. It is a very slow-paced movie. I think a lot of people will not like it because it's so slow. It's subtitled, but that barely matters. It almost plays like a silent film at times. It gives a glimpse into 1970s Mexico that I knew absolutely nothing about. The last 45 minutes or so of Roma are devastatingly unforgettable. I really want to see this film. This is widely considered the film of the year, and I will be watching it very soon. I don't know if my wife's going to watch it. We always have a disagreement. Like, I'm more into watching kind of an art, slower film together. But a lot of times she wants to watch action-y film or so we can kind of talk to each other, you know, and like experience it. So this one, I'll probably pick a late night like I did. I watched Hereditary the other night, but I'll save that for another podcast to talk about that. But the way that, Andy, you're describing Roma, I'm feeling it. Number three, Paddington 2. This got great reviews. I never use the word delightful, but Paddington 2 is capital delightful. Yes, it is a movie geared at kids, but what a great movie it is. It is so uplifting, I can hardly believe it. It restores my belief that the world isn't an entirely bad place and that good people do exist. That's awesome. Lachlan loved it. My wife did too. I want to watch that movie. It's got, I heard it might be up for Academy Award for Best Picture. Number two, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, another home run for the Coens. If you like the Coens, you'll like this. Yeah, great Western, now streaming on Netflix. All so many of these movies, actually, let's see, a good majority, you can, I mean, they're available to you now. That's another good thing that I like about streaming and that I never understand about the Academy Awards. Well, I do understand it. It's called, you get to put this one an Oscar and more people rent it or buy it when it comes. But I don't, you can do that after too, and then you get a bump. I don't, what people who hold the movie until after the Oscars, it just never makes sense. But we find less of that now. And now a lot of people's best lists, you look at them and they're available to see. Number one, A Quiet Place. Number one movie of the year for Andy, A Quiet Place. This movie is a masterclass in tension. I can't believe Jim Halpert directed this. I guess that's his office name, right? I greatly look forward to what Krasinski does next. Yeah, me too. This is just a great sci-fi thriller. Besides, any movie that features an action scene inside of a corn bin has to be my number one, doesn't it? That's scary. Yeah. Falling, getting sucked down into that core. That, oh man, I've seen that used in other films and TV before. And now, this is a great film. It really is. I can't disagree with any of it. I just read an interview, a short piece. I think it was on Vulture where Krasinski, it was just some story he told about how Paul Thomas Anderson told him not to say that another director's movie wasn't good quality. That directors should support each other. You should just say things like, that's not my cup of tea, or I prefer a different type of film, or something like that. Paul Thomas Anderson is the elder statesman now, and that's crazy, but it's true. And Krasinski, very, very well directed. This film is great. I love it, and I can't wait to see what he does next, too. All right, now on to, thank you for that list, Andy. Now we're going to do Andy's TV. Now on to TV. There are a few shows that I wanted to catch up on that I didn't have time for. Atlanta, Succession, Bodyguard, The Expanse would have made the list if I had seen them. I forgot about The Expanse. I always forget about, there's so many TV shows. Honorable mentions, in alphabetical order, Altered Carbon. The show is insane, over the top, sometimes can't be sci-fi. If that's your thing, check it out. Looking forward to Anthony Mackie joining the cast for season two. You know, I got Alter. I just talked about that. I got it on my list. American Vandal. Oh, I wondered. Season two. Not as good as season one. But if you can get past a disgusting premise, season two is still excellent. The last few episodes are really fantastic. I want to watch it at some point, but the duty, I just couldn't do it. I just can't do it. At some point I'll do it, but it's so much duty. Barry was great, but again, not on my, didn't make my top 10. I remembered it. Bill Hader, Stephen Root, Henry Winkler. Need I say more? I am curious if Heath has seen this. Is the way acting class and auditions portrayed in Barry accurate? I know of a lot of it is played for laughs, but I get the feeling that it might be realistic. Well, having been an actor for some time, I will tell you, it's very realistic. Actually, I've been in some acting classes that were even stranger, and the characters involved. It's a trip. It's a trip. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, a show that I think I might start watching again now that it's moved to NBC. I think this show gets consistently underrated. It is just fun to hang out with the characters. That's how I feel about it. Castle Rock, I think it's a must watch for Stephen King fans. Episode 7 is one of the best episodes of TV I watched all year. Sissy Spacek and Scott Glenn make the entire series worth watching. I am going to have more to say about Castle Rock. I want to bring someone on to talk about it with me. I'm going to find somebody. I agree with you about episode 7, and I agree it was on my peripherals too. It was on my honorables, but kind of past what I mentioned. Lost in Space. I really like this, Ando, but I think it needed something else, you know? But Andy says, I wasn't planning on watching this. However, it auto-played after I watched the Cloverfield Paradox. I was hooked within minutes. It's not groundbreaking, but it's a very solid family-oriented sci-fi series. Agreed. If I was a kid, I would probably be watching this daily. Probably a good show to introduce kids to science fiction. Agreed. And they should embrace that more in the second season and have more fun. Because I think the tone was a little off, you know? And they dealt some of the subjects with the adults, they dealt with it like it was for kids. And then they flipped it, and some of the kids' stuff I felt was a little too mature. They got to find more of a rhythm for me. Maniac. I've sent plenty of feedback about this show already. This show is not for everybody. The cast is amazing. Emma Stone, Jonah Hill, Sally Field, Justin Theroux. It's very weird in a Terry Gilliam kind of way. This is probably my number 11. It just got pushed out of the top 10 a few days ago. Okay. Yes, I still have not gotten to Maniac. I don't know if I will. I've got to be honest. I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it for some reason, but I got to trust y'all. I got to trust you, Andy. Maybe I'll try it again. Let me get through Travelers. It was cool, but there was something that didn't grab me, that world right away. So I'll give it another shot. BoJack Horseman is Andy's number 10. I can't recall a show that tackles the topics of addiction and depression as well as this one does while still having a sense of humor. Another show that isn't for everybody. It has been very dark since the beginning, and this season was no different. The best episode of this season featured one character delivering a eulogy for the entire running time. Wow, that is deep. Yeah, this was a deep one, and I did watch an episode, as promised. And it wasn't my cup of tea, but I suggest other people give it a shot because I understood just from watching it where it's coming from. And I think time goes on, I think about it every once in a while, and that says something, doesn't it? About the wacky humor being a way of dealing with the other side of the show. The depression. So that's kind of makes it more interesting to me. Number 9, Sharp Objects. Easily the darkest thing I watched all year. It's relentless. I've lived in a small town the majority of my life. This show gets a scary amount of small town details right. It reminds me a lot of season 1 of Twin Peaks, only without the humor, much darker, and set in Missouri. Amy Adams and Patricia Clarkson are outstanding. It also has one of the best endings of the year. Make sure and stay through the credits. That's what Solo said. I'm going to do that. And my wife and I have already said we're going to watch this. It just slipped by. Number 8, Glow. I will admit I was a big wrestling fan back in the day. Something about live performance combined with athleticism has always fascinated me. But I don't think you need to be a wrestling fan or former fan to enjoy this. It is more about the struggle of these women to do what they want to do, perform, even if it means they are doing it in a wrestling ring instead of the movies. Alison Brie, Betty Gilpin, and Marc Maron are again fantastic. I think season 2 was a step up from season 1. The show seems much more confident in itself in all the right ways. I was cheering at the end of season 2. That's awesome. That's a great cast. That is a great cast. Number 7, yeah, Lodge 49, a show that I only watched because of Axel's recommendation. I'm so glad I did. I still haven't had time to go back and listen to Daily DVR where you talked about this, So I apologize if I'm repeating stuff. Not at all, buddy. This show is one of a kind, and it's very refreshing. With the exception of one character, there aren't really any antagonists in Lodge 49. Nearly every character is being or trying to be a good person in their own way. I just love hanging out with all of them. It's almost like a dramatic version of Cheers, complete with numerous bar scenes. It's true. The thing I never got from the previews is that there is a mythology here. It's very reminiscent of the Dharma Initiative stuff in Lost. Similar to early seasons of Lost, the mythology here is just teased occasionally. The main focus is the characters. I'm very excited to see where this goes next. Yeah, I can't say enough about Lodge 49. You know I love it. Lodge 49 is the bomb dig. And you're right. It is reminiscent of the Dharma Initiative. And I think season two, they're going to jump headfirst into the weirdness. I really do. And that was a great episode I did with thetruelodge.com, baby. Check it out. Number six, The Americans. I was a little lukewarm on the previous seasons of The Americans. The show had always been a slow burn, but it started moving so slow, it felt like they nearly put that flame out. True. I was a little worried about the final season. It was still a slow burn, but wow, what a way to go out. Nearly a perfect ending to a fantastic show. Yeah, you know I agree. And in retrospect, it gets better for me. The Haunting of Hill House, number five. Loved it. This show came out of nowhere. I'm normally not a huge horror fan, but when horror is done right, it can make for amazing TV and movies. Hill House is definitely that. There are many, many, many images from this that I will never forget. In a lot of ways, this reminds me of a horror version of Lost, but instead of an island, it's a haunted house. Wait a second. It is complete with flashbacks, ghosts, characters with daddy issues, a set of fraternal twins, character-centric episodes, and an ending that has divided fans. Plus, it's scary as hell. That is true. You know what? I mean, I guess any great genre is at its heart dependent on the characters to give it life. And those shows that recognize that are successful and cultivate that. And I like that right there, Ando. Someone should create some kind of meme of that, and we can put it on the interwebs. Oh, Westworld at number four. Westworld! It's no secret I love the Westworld Theory Cast, baby. That's right. Go and check out Westworld Theory Cast. Pretty sure I sent in my thoughts weekly to Axel and Tim. Yeah. I did not forget about Westworld when I made my list. It was on my mind. I don't forget about Westworld. I love Westworld. I do. It got people crapped on Westworld season two. It seems as time going on, people are kind of like, it's kind of commonly agreed that Westworld season two wasn't as good. It was too confusing, and now they're gonna. I'm like, I don't agree with any of that. I loved it. Loved it. Number three, man of my own heart here, Homecoming. Another show that came out of nowhere. Axel and Tim did a fantastic job. Reading my thoughts on the New Year's Eve show. Yep, go back and listen to that, people. He says, I love everything about this show. Fan, better, more I think about it. It gets better. Number two, The Good Place. If you listen to Daily DVR and don't watch this show, do it. I refuse to spoil anything about it because there are so many fantastic and unpredictable plot turns. It's very fun and extremely smart show. Another show that has a lot of Lost influences and references, definitely. But I won't spoil any. Me either. And I held to my agreement, and I have not watched any more episodes. I'm going to wait until the end of the season, and then I'm going to watch them all. Because I think watching them like two at a time wasn't a good idea. And I might go back and just rewatch the whole season. Because it's so good, I don't even care if I'm watching the episode again. So Good Place is so much fun. So smart. And heartwarming, isn't it? It does give you that faith in humanity vibe. Now, number one, Ando and me, same thing, baby. We're in the outrigger together. Better Call Saul. This show has not only become the perfect complement to Breaking Bad, but in my opinion, the best show on TV. Agreed. Each season has been better than the last, definitely. What else can be said that hasn't already been said? The acting, writing, and production of this show are all second to none. It is much slower than Breaking Bad, but if you enjoyed Breaking Bad and haven't watched Saul for some reason, go watch it now. Totally agree. Better Call Saul. It's just the best. Like I said, I was thinking about that after I talked about it with Heath the other day on Wednesday. I said, if there's one show I could work for, it would be Better Call Saul. And that's the truth. You know, if Ryan Johnson called me up and he said, you know what, Axel, I got a hand on a copy of Smokers, and my God, you're a genius. And I'd say, well, I know, but what can I help you with, please? I've gotten to make dinner. And then he would say, come out to LA. No, come to England and make these Star Wars movies with me. I just want you on the set with me. I'll give you a job. I just want you to be out there with me and experience it. And I'm going to help you get up and direct a movie. Cause he's like, I think he's actually younger than me. I'd say, okay, you know what? Thanks, dude. But I got to ask my wife. Now, if they call me, any of the guys, Schnauz, any of those dudes called me from Better Call Saul, even the man himself, and said, do you want to come out here to New Mexico where it's hot that you hate? It's a dry heat, though, but it's relentless, and you hate that. What do you think? I'd be like, I'm on the plane. What time do I go? I really mean that. It'd be so, I can't think of anything more pure in TV than Better Call Saul. Really. I think it's the purest television show on television. Even more so than some other shows I can think of, like in Atlanta or something, where the vision is so clear. I just think I cannot imagine having that many people working together for that long a period of time so successfully, from Breaking Bad into Better Call Saul, and just get better and better and better. It's absolutely amazing. And Vince Gilligan has to be one of the greatest showrunners in the history of television, because what he's able to achieve is remarkable. Even if you don't like this story, you know, which I love it. So, all right, Andy, thank you so much for your films and your TV shows. You are the man, my brother. Now, a special list from my cousin Eileen. Love you, Eileen. Thanks for sending your list in. I love that you're a part of this podcast now. This is awesome. She begins, as I begin my list, I realize what a big year it was for sequels. Yep, isn't that the truth? You got to get that IP. Spider-Man, Bumblebee, Avengers, Jurassic, 50 Shades. Yeah, 50 Shades. So in no particular order, the sequels I enjoyed were Mission Impossible Fallout, this year's best action movie. Agreed. Ant-Man and the Wasp, original cast returns with a nice continuation of the shrinking hero's story. This is on a lot of people's lists. I don't know if it would be on my best list of the year, but I really liked it. And I thought that they did the Michelle Pfeiffer stuff in a breezy yet serious way. They didn't overdo it. They had the right tone with it. So I thought it was fun. And Evangeline Lilly having a bigger part in the movie, I like too. Deadpool 2, Ryan Reynolds. This was a lot of fun. The sarcastic superhero returns as funny as the first movie with a good action storyline and new characters. Yeah, I thought the action in this one was actually better. I thought that the fight at the end, it was really cool. I liked Deadpool 2. Incredibles 2. The super family is back in another adventure. This time, mom runs out to fight crime while dad watches the super kids and the fun begins. I watched this with Lachlan. We got a real kick out of it. I wish we had watched the first one like right before it, because I think we ended up watching like parts of it after, or I read about, but there was a lot of stuff that had been so long, I didn't make the connections. And I think it would have had more resonance for me. Him, he didn't care. He loved it. Here are some drama comedies that Eileen has on her top list of films of the year. Juliet, Naked, Ethan Hawke, Rose Byrne, Chris O'Dowd, directed by Jesse Peretz, who was actually the original drummer or bassist for the Lemonheads. He then became a music video director, and then he started working with Apatow and all those cats, and has directed like scores of films that you recognize. The characters win you over in this odd romantic story, and this is also written by the guy who wrote High Fidelity, I think. I think so, yeah. Love, Simon. This coming-of-age film had an honest view of the roller coaster ride many teens go through in high school with friends and parents, etc. I love this movie. This is a Greg Berlanti movie about a young guy in high school coming out, and it's not the typical story, and he's very confident, and it's a great movie. I really liked it. I agree with you, Eileen. Thanks for bringing that one up. Love, Simon. And of course, that's from Greg Berlanti, who is the superhero of TV show running with like eight TV shows currently. I think he has the most on TV. Action comedy, Ocean's 8. A gender switch of the Ocean's Trilogy series with Danny's sister, Debbie Ocean, leading this new female group. Want to see a 9th and 10th. I didn't really like this one. I got to tell you. I'm going to do what PTA told Krasinski, and I'm going to say it just didn't work for me, or it wasn't my kind of film. I thought that this film was miscast. That's how I felt about it. I felt that they did not put the actresses with the right roles. And I think that they could have, maybe they were trying to challenge it, but it was just something off about it to me. But I liked the story, but I just thought it could have been better. Eileen has Game Night on her list too. I'm a fan of the sarcastic humor in many Jason Bateman comedies, and this was one to enjoy. Jesse Plemons, yes, as the cop, the odd neighbor, added a special twist. Oh my God, you're right. Jesse Plemons is the man. He was fantastic in that. All right, comedy, The Book Club, Jane Fonda, Diane Keaton, Mary Steenburgen, Candice Bergen. I didn't even see this. Don Johnson, Andy Garcia, Craig T. Nelson, Richard Dreyfuss. Wow. Great group of renowned senior actors in this romantic comedy. It's nice to see that Hollywood is giving senior actors a new life on screen with stories usually given to younger people in the past. I did not see this, The Book Club. You know what? Perry and I should watch that. I mean, what a cast. And I'm always wondering why Craig T. Nelson and Richard Dreyfuss aren't in stuff, but you're right. I mean, you know, they always want to cast young people, or if you're like, you have to be like Tom Cruise and be 60 years old jumping off of airplanes. Life of the Party. Oh, okay. This is the movie I was talking about before. Melissa McCarthy and real life husband Ben Falcone, and he plays her Uber driver in the beginning of the movie. Wrote the screenplay. A divorced mother returns to her daughter's college, and the humor starts from the beginning. PG-13. And I enjoyed it more than Blockers. Really? See, I liked Blockers better. I don't know. I didn't quite get into this one. But I might catch this again. They're running it on HBO. And I really like Melissa McCarthy. She is a scene stealer. She's like Will Ferrell and people like that, where she's so electric on the screen. It's almost like the other actors and actresses kind of like are waiting for her to do something. You know what I mean? Like, she really steals the show. And Maya Rudolph is very funny in this movie too. In the very beginning of the movie, which I think I remember more, maybe I didn't see the end of it now that I think about it. They're playing racquetball, and that's a great scene. Okay. Eileen has some movies that she has notable, but not included in her top movies. Mary Poppins Returns, the new storyline was okay, but the beautiful scenery and costumes added a bright and happier feeling than the old Mary Poppins. Good, because all I remember about Mary Poppins is that the poor chimney sweep gets left. The reason I say this, I think I said on the podcast before, is that I think I broke up with my girlfriend. I think she broke up with me like a week before I watched this with my little brother when I was in my 20s. And it just, I was always like, crying at the end. He was like, "What's wrong?" I was like, "Oh, it's okay." And then they would always make fun of me. "No, watch Mary Poppins. Mamma Mia, here we go again. The original music was better in this sequel, and the ending was surprisingly emotional." Had not seen that. "I Feel Pretty, Amy Schumer, reminded me of the movie Shallow Hal, but a gender reversal, as his character Renee believes she's beautiful and becomes confident. The lesson, again, is about inner beauty." You know what I didn't get about this movie, Eileen, is I already think that Amy Schumer is good-looking. So I didn't understand the conceit of this movie. I watched the trailer. Is it that she's supposed to, like, she looks into the mirror and she goes, "Oh my God, I'm gorgeous." And then she like, and then someone like looks at her, like, is she ugly? I don't think Amy Schumer's ugly. Like, I mean, you know, she's not, you know, I mean, I don't think that she has the look that Hollywood or, you know, maybe people generally say, oh, that, you know, like a, I don't know, like, I don't know who's like a famous good looking woman there. So my thoughts might be different than other people. I was about to name people and I was thinking, do people think that person's good? I don't know. So I don't know. I didn't know if I understood this movie, but that's interesting. I'd like for you to tell me, what was up with that? Is that what it was about? And did you buy into that? Because I don't think she's unattractive. But I don't know. That's me. I mean, I don't think, I'm not like Amy Schumer, but I'm not like, oh, she's nasty. You know what I mean? Like it's not like she's looking like Eric Stoltz from Mask or something. You know what I mean? Like she doesn't have like a facial abnormality. She's a good looking girl. You know, like if my friend was like, "Hey, here's my girlfriend, Amy Schumer," I would be like, "Oh, okay, cool." I wouldn't be like, "Oh my God." That's why I didn't, it's like, I thought is it, to make it funny. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. Overboard, another gender reversal of the original Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn story, but this time Anna Faris is the working girl and Eugenio Derbez is the millionaire. Adding some Latino culture in this movie became more fun. I have not heard a lot about this. I saw this in the video store. I wanted to see it. I think Anna Faris is funny. I remember her from that movie. What was it called? Smiley Face, where she's like stoned all day. That was great. Bohemian Rhapsody. Everyone I know who saw this movie loved it, and even my older male friends said it was emotionally moving. I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list of what's best this year. Oh, she hasn't seen it yet. I like that. Putting one you want to see. That's good for a list like this. I'm going to see it too. You know what, Eileen? When this came out, this movie got kind of trashed a bit by the film critics and more kind of filmic type peeps because they kind of downplayed elements of Freddie, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name right now, of his life. And people got upset about it. And originally Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to play the part and it was going to get into a lot of the drug addiction and his sex life and orgies and crazy stuff, you know, that they did. And this movie is not about that. And that's fine. That's what, you know, I heard someone else on a podcast talk about it and they said the same exact thing I said, which is a lot of times what happens is they do these big biopics, right? And they tone it down. And then a few years later, some indie movie comes out that tells the truth of it. And it's more well suited for that. So I heard from everyone that this movie was a lot of fun. And I'd have no reason to believe that with Rami Malek starring in it, that it wouldn't be awesome. So I think it'd probably be a fun kind of romp through the history of Queen. And that's cool for me, right? Like not every movie has to be the true story. It is still a movie. So we can live kind of more of the fantasy. And I think that that's okay. And that's the way I feel about when you interpret a real person's life and when you interpret, like, say, a book. Because you're interpreting it. So of course it's not real, right? Like, no, like when a historical film prides itself on accuracy, I am incredibly unimpressed. I'm like very unimpressed. That's not hard. You can open up a book. What's hard is to make something interesting and make a film out of it. That's hard. That's why a movie like The Doors and stuff, when I think about it, I think that's what people wanted out of this movie. And it's okay that it's not that movie, because a lot of people don't like The Doors. I loved it. I thought it was fun. And it added, of course, a mystique to Jim Morrison, when in reality, it was probably like a lot of times about bunch of drunk dudes hanging out spouting poetry that you really don't want to hear again for the 20th damn time. But in the movie, it was fun. And so that's why I think for Bohemian Rhapsody, I'm all about it. When it comes out on Blu-ray, I want to see it immediately, because I think it'll be a lot of fun. And at some point, someone will do an indie movie that'll tell the real story of people's lives, you know? Thanks again for that list, Eileen. I really appreciate your perspective. And it means a lot that my own cousin's getting involved in the podcast. That's awesome. Family, baby. We're all family together. And like I said, a lot of those movies, it seems like those are just movies you love. And that's what I do too. I just put movies on a list that I love. I'm not going to say like, well, this movie is so well made. I hated watching it. It's, you know, don't put yourself through it, but gosh, the artistry of it. You got to go with what you love in this world. There's so much stuff out there. All right, let's take a quick break to shout out our sponsor, Cufflinks.com. I want to thank Cufflinks.com for continuing to be our presenting sponsor all January long. Use the code FOOTBALL30 and get NFL and NCAA merch for yourself, baby, or for someone you love for 30% off. Code FOOTBALL30. Now, I went over to Cufflinks.com and I typed in NFL. The first thing that came up, I'm not even joking with you, is a New York Jets 3-piece gift set. And it's awesome. And then I see the Buffalo Bills stuff. Even my hated New England Patriots, their Cufflinks and Tie Bar gift set looks awesome. All this stuff looks awesome. They have the Raven shields. They have variations, like the older stuff, the throwbacks, the newer stuff. Even like I'm saying, these shields that just look awesome that you wear them, people kind of look a little bit closer. What is that? There's just a host of different stuff that you can get over at Cufflinks.com. Chicago Bears Soldier Field seat cufflinks. Okay? Can you believe that? It's taken from the seats at Soldier Field, okay? These cufflinks are crafted from authentic Soldier Field stadium seating. Need I say more? Go over to cufflinks.com/DVR. Use the code FOOTBALL30 and get 30% off NFL or NCAA ties, cufflinks, tie bars, bags, pins, all types of stuff over at cufflinks.com/DVR. And remember, you can also use the code DVR20 to get 20% off anything you want, no minimum, 20% off using code DVR20. Now back to the show. We're going to get back into it. I mid-tweeted during the podcast. I was like, I think this is going to be the longest podcast that I ever did by myself. But I'm not really by myself because, for instance, I have my co-host, Mr. DJ Tim Hines. And this is his top 10 of 2018. Number 10, Can You Feel It? How Dance Music Took Over the World, a 3-part BBC docuseries. Interesting. Homecoming, Amazon Prime at number 9. Number 8, Black Panther. He's putting movies and TV. He's just mixing it up. He's just saying everything. Number eight, Black Panther. Number 7, Life of Dogs, Wes Anderson stop motion animation film. My mother-in-law took Lachlan, my niece who's 9, and my nephew who's 12 to go see this. And I think it was a little over their heads, but Lachlan was like, it was really interesting. I liked the way they did the dogs. But I want to see this. I have not yet seen this. And of course, I'm I love Wes Anderson. The guy is a genius. Number six, Westworld Season 2. Right there with you, DJ. Number five, good hip-hop albums. A resurgence of a lot of boom-bap beats and lyrical gems. All right, good hip-hop. DJ shouts out, make us a list of hip-hop that we should be listening to this year, DJ. I don't know. Number four, Infinity War. Yep, that's on Andy's list, mine too. Number three, Venom. You heard my Venom review. I didn't have the same result on Venom. It was interesting, but I don't know if it made my list. Number two, Gundam. DJ wins the year. DJ wins, and his number one, Daily DVR Podcast. The best thing to come out of 2018. That's right, Daily DVR. Thank you, DJ. And Gundam. Today, DJ went to Gundam Planet out in New Jersey. He was sending me pictures the whole way. It's like a warehouse, but you can go. What is it, Gundam Planet USA or Gundam Store USA? And it's a huge warehouse, and you can just go, and it's just like a door to a warehouse, and you walk in, and you can't even get the stuff off the shelf. You like have to order it online while you're standing there. DJ, we couldn't do it without you, brother. Thank you so much for all that you do. And Gundam number two, DVR, Podcast Network, and Daily DVR at number one. That's probably my number one and number two. But at number zero means beyond definition is DJ Tim Hines. The zero ain't for nothing. It means infinite, baby. Double it. Put them together. Infinity. Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Gina. Thanks, Gina. It's great to hear from you. She starts off by saying, by the way, I'm on the same page with your wife on Colin Firth. I told my wife that, and she laughed, and she's like, actually, she went like this. Oh, yeah. And I was like, honey, okay, all right. Colin Firth. I guess she liked Colin Firth. I got something to be worried about. Nah, it's all right. That's a good man. Maybe I remind her of him in some way. I'm kind of tall and handsome, I guess. We'll see. All right. I won't get ahead of myself. Gina's given me a top 10 pods in no order, only one GOT pod since we didn't get a season. Yeah, when I did my pod list, I left off. I like to do that separately within the seasons. But I had the same one that you had, which I would have included. But here's Gina's list. And thank you, Gina. I'm going to listen to these. Well, a bunch of them I already do, but let's see. New York Times, The Daily. I listen to this every day. It's available without fail. Best news pod around. Modern Love. Rumor has it this is going to be made into a TV series. What's Modern Love about? Is it like a question kind of thing? Is it like Savage Love? I wonder I'll take a look into it. Crooked Media's The Wilderness. The Westworld Theory Cast. Yeah, Gina. Shout. Radio Westworld. What a great show. And they got married. Did you know that? The host got married. That's awesome. Congrats to them. Criminal. Rachel Maddow's The Bag Man. I heard that was great. Pod Save America. But I stopped listening because I feel it's bad for my mental state and blood pressure. And that's the reason why no political pods were on my list, Gina. You know, Gina, you and I have the same politics. We agree. From what I can tell, on pretty much everything. And I can't listen to this politics. I had to stop. I had to stop because it was just, exactly what you said. Bad for the mental state and the blood pressure. I keep up to date. But some of the pods, more like I see something like The Daily as something that I would listen to because it's the news, right? But like something like Pod Save America, it kind of fires you up. So much of it is a hype show, you know, and people really expressing their feelings and getting upset that it is really hard. It's hard to listen to. So I want to pay attention to what's happening, but I don't need as much of the commentary on it because I feel like that's where I'm getting a little bit hyped, you know? But The Bag Man, I heard, that's a story, right? So I'm interested in that. History of Westeros, biggest GOT nerds around. That's the best Game of Thrones podcast. I mean, look, I have to say it. I think, and Matt's podcast too, because to me, that's like, you get the book stuff, you get the show stuff, do such a great job of covering it. And History of Westeros, I mean, they're fantastic. And now that they're covering Fire and Blood, I love them. I love them. And her final one is Last Scene, about the Isabella Gardner Museum heist. That's kind of cool. I hadn't known about that. They did a doc about that that I saw a while back that I like. I think I talked about it on the show. Very cool. Thank you, Gina. Once again, The Daily, Modern Love, The Wilderness, Westworld Theorycast, Radio Westworld, Criminal, The Bag Man, Pod Save America, History of Westeros, Last Scene. Now Gina's top 10, Handmaid's Tale, duh. Insatiable on Netflix, What a Trip. I don't know any, I don't really know much about that. Wait, is that the one where the girl like loses weight to get back at people? Wasn't there some sort of controversy about this or something? I don't know. I don't remember if that's the same one, but I got to look into it. Haunting of Hill House, love it, of course. Westworld, yeah. Like I said, I did not forget about Westworld. That was, I knew that was going to be on my top 10. I loved season 2. Killing Eve, OMG. Yeah, that was great. The Great British Bake Off, Batshit Crazy Challenges, Loveliest Contestants Ever. I fell off on it, but now I got to get back in. I started watching the holiday one with Lachlan, and I like the new hosts. Queer Eye, tearjerker of a reboot with tons of heart and soul. You know, Lachlan still talks about episodes of that show that we watch together. When he sees, and it's when he's referencing how he should like act better or be good to people. And it just shows you that show is almost too emotional for me. Perry and I watched a couple more of the episodes, and I watched a couple episodes with him. And actually, he goes back and watches them on Netflix. Jack Ryan. Yeah, Andy just said that he started watching this and loves it. Glad, Jack Ryan, great. I'm so glad you mentioned this next one, Gina. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. Loved it. Watching this was like watching one of my BFFs from college deep dive into food. Great mental break from real life. This was a fantastic series, and it was only 4 episodes. Black Mirror, amazing. The Assassination of Gianni Versace, or When a Glee Boy Goes Psycho. I gotta watch this because I do love Ryan. I was gonna say likes and love, so I said love Ryan Murphy. I really do. And I loved American Horror Story this year. It almost made my list. I gotta watch this, and it's on Netflix. The Alienist, yeah. Dakota Fanning, all grown up and so remarkable in this role. I talked about it with Heath. Totally agree. Thank you, Gina, for that great list of your top TV shows. Now on to Gina's top movies. Bohemian Rhapsody. We had talked about that. See? Finally saw it last night. So more obsessed with Freddie than ever before. Hannah Gadsby on Netflix. Starts as a comedy, then slaps you in the face and makes you cry. My wife and I started watching this, and I couldn't get into it. I guess it was the affectation that she had, her kind of character that she's playing, and that's kind of a problem I have with stand-up in general. That's why some of my favorite stand-ups are like Todd Barry, who just gets on stage and is like, "Hey guys, how you doing?" and you know, it just talks to you like that. But she had this affectation where she was kind of like, and I, yeah, so that's how it is. And I just couldn't get past it. But I know that there's something more there because I know so many people have been affected by this and touched by, I think it's called Nanette, right? So I'm going to check that out. I think I'm talking about the right thing. I'm going to watch more of it. A Star is Born. I'm going to see it. I'll see it. Black Panther. Yeah. Annihilation. So glad you mentioned this. Definitely on my list of top 10 films of the year. Natalie Portman is amazing. It's so resonant and meaningful, and it's psychological sci-fi at its finest. Deadpool 2, Eileen had that on her list too. Fun. Incredibles 2, that too. Solo, Ready Player One, two fun ones. I was a little more disappointed in Ready Player One. The Shape of Water, I think that's last year, but you know what? I don't care. The more I think about that movie, the more I actually liked it. It was a simple movie, and I'm glad that it won Academy Awards. The Shape of Water, fish sex, baby. Thank you for your list, Gina. You're the best. I look forward to hearing more from you. And now, on to Brett. I've been meaning to thank you for your beautiful review of the movie Childhood of a Leader. The way you described the film was so effective at selling me on it that I immediately put a hold at my local library. Yeah, baby. I look forward to watching a double score by Brett, Childhood of a Leader from the library. I love the idea of remembering our favorites of the year in the form of a top 10 of 2018 list. Since I don't have cable, I do feel ill-equipped to rank the many great TV shows out there for which I have not yet caught up on the current season. My admittedly incomplete top five would be one, I'm going to do it in reverse for you, Brett. Five, Making a Murderer. Four, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Three, Sharp Objects. Two, Maniac. One, Westworld. Yeah, we got Westworld fans up in here. Man. Be like I host a Westworld podcast. However, excuse me, I like that list, Brett. I still have to watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I hear such divergent things about season two, and that tells me that I should watch it. I like when that happens, because that means that they tried something. However, as a frequent moviegoer, I feel compelled to offer a top 10 favorite films of 2018. So, in a deviation of the rules, that is what I decided to do. It's not a deviation. There are no, where we're going, there are no rules, Brett. In reverse order, a simple favor. I just watched this with my wife the other night. This is a fun mystery, dramedy, starring Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively about two mothers with opposite personalities becoming fast friends and the mystery that ensues after the snobbish of the two women never shows up to pick up her son from a kid's play date. Yeah, that's true. The more snobbish, would you say, of the two women never shows up to pick her son from a kid's play date. I like this movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it found its tone a little bit later in the movie, and that was purposeful. And I think, without any spoilers here, because it's not spoiling to say this about any movie really these days, that they should do a part two to this movie. And I think you'll agree with me, Brett. Upgrade. That's right, baby. Come on, this is my people's. I heard about this one from your podcast and it sounded up my alley as a sci-fi nerd. I noticed the action was persistent, but the scenes were never too long or gratuitous for me, so it had a good flow. I also appreciate the direction the writers chose to go with the ending. Upgrade is awesome. And you're right, Brett. It had a great flow, right? It had a good balance of kind of art, sci-fi, action. It was a good mix. It was moody, but not overly moody. Like it held shots, but it held an extra beat, but not two extra beats like it would if it was like an art film, you know? Awesome. Number eight, the favorite. I also heard about this one on your podcast about a lady and a servant working under Queen Anne of the 18th century England. I've been in love with Rachel Weisz ever since The Fountain, Aronofsky, and I've already seen The Lobster. I think director Yorgos Lanthimos has a marvelous sense of humor. Aaron loved this. I really want to see this. My mother-in-law thought it was strange and weird and gave me a look. And that look makes me say, I definitely want to see this movie. Because she was like, it was different. And I was like, yeah, okay. Okay. If you say, Lulu gave a good review there. I want to see it. Thank you, Brett. Number seven, sorry to bother you. I remember that you offered some mixed reviews of this one, but having seen the movie before you did, I must say that I went into it knowing absolutely nothing about it with no expectations. And by the time I came out of it, I was surprised and gratified. It got you. I think that's the thing about that movie, Brett. I want to try to watch it again at some point in my life. Who knows when that'll be. But I just feel like for some reason, I maybe wasn't in the right frame of mind because so many people like this film that I respect. And I respect you, Brett. And I just think I didn't get it for some reason. And that happens sometimes, right? And then you re-examine or you think about it and you're like, I just was in it. I just, for some reason, I wasn't like open to it. I don't know why. Number six, Searching. A father tries to find his missing daughter by breaking into her laptop. This movie is interesting because every frame of every scene is on a computer screen, and watching that is not as annoying as it sounds. It also has a nice kicker in the end. Agreed. I watched this with Perry about 3 weeks ago. I forgot to talk about it on the podcast, and I thought it was really cool. And they are planning an entire series of these films, not just this, but there's like six movies in development that just take place on computer screens. And I think they're releasing like one of them or two of them on Facebook or something. You know what I mean? So it has that integration. Why haven't they done that before? It's a very cool idea. And John Chu is great. I thought he was great in this movie. He, like, his face had so much expression. It had to. He kept on like looking into the FaceTime, you know? I thought it was a lot of fun. Mandy, do not watch if you are epileptic. Totally true. As critic Robbie Colin says, this exists in its own supremely unnerving horror dimension. That's definitely true. The acting of Nicolas Cage is superb, but the directing is on a whole different level and makes the masterpiece. Yep. I'm glad you like it, man. I'm so glad that you guys like this movie. Mandy is awesome. Go out and watch it. Number four, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Classic heart-wrenching stories by the Coens. Having them in bite-sized portions doesn't make you feel any better after watching them, but they're good. That's true. This is, it starts down a road in the beginning. And I like the way you describe it like that, because a lot of people are saying, oh, it's fun Coens in the West, but it's not. It's really, they're heart-wrenching. You're absolutely right. That's a great description. Oh, Hereditary at number three, scariest movie of the year. After the grandmother passes away, a grieving family slowly begins to learn pieces of a terrifying and disturbing puzzle related to her life. And the movie has Anne Dowd in it. So yeah. She is great. She is great in this movie. And when she pops up, you're like, oh. I watched this movie by myself late at night, and it did not scare me. But I really like the movie. So I agree with you, Brett. And initially, I was a little annoyed because I thought I'd be more scared. But I guess it's because I don't get scared at these type of movies. I get scared at home invasion movies. Green Room is the scariest movie in like the past 5 or 10 years for me. That's the kind of thing that scares me. This movie, there was a part of it that really was kind of scary. And the more I think about it, the more I think about this, it'd be better to not say the movie is scary, but that it is a really good movie. Just go see it. It's a horror movie and it's really good because it's got psychological elements to it. And then the end is awesome. Like what the movie is about is awesome. And that's why I wish that I had known more about that. It had a unified theme, that there was a plot that was going on in the movie, that it kind of has like almost an M. Night Shyamalan type ending to it, you know? Not a trick, but all of a sudden things are revealed and you're like, whoa, cool. I wish there was more of that in it. In the way that Mandy reveled in that. Do you know what I mean, Brett? That Mandy was like, hey, we've got an idea. This is the idea. Live in it. You know what I mean? Like the new flesh. This, I just felt that Hereditary, I wish it had more of that. But then, on the other hand, the production design on this film was off the charts. I mean, and the direction was amazing. The way that it plays with this idea that the mother, Toni Collette, in the movie makes miniature houses. She's an artist. And the way that they frame that and the way the set of the house is built as one of those houses, it's crazy. And that's amazing. And says a lot about the ending too. But I just felt that I was waiting for kind of like to be scared. And I wasn't really scared because things crawling in the background or stuff like that, that doesn't scare me. I don't get scared by that. Honestly, I'm like a robot or something because I just look at it. I go, oh, there's something in the background. Like it doesn't the mood for some reason. Again, I think my mood was a little off. I was expecting something and I should have just kind of like cleared myself out and just gone into it. But I would definitely suggest this movie, Brett, and I'm glad you put it on your list because it's awesome. It's for the production design and the little house thing on its own, it's worth it. Another great movie, First Reformed, number 2. I have not seen this yet. I definitely want to see it. Actually, I want to get it from the library. But it's on Amazon Prime now. Powerful movie about a lonely pastor of a small church who tends to a call for help from a pregnant woman and agrees to counsel her environmental activist husband, starring Ethan Hawke, Amanda Seyfried, and Cedric the Entertainer. This is getting movie of the year. This is Paul Schrader. This is getting Ethan Hawke, best actor, and best film reviews. Actually, there was just an article, I think it was on Vulture today, about Ethan Hawke and the last like 3 to 5 roles that he's taken. And Ethan Hawke, you know, say what you will about Ethan Hawke, he's had quite a career and he does challenge himself, you know? This is worth checking out, First Reformed. And the environmental part I heard is really interesting. Kind of balancing the moral and ethical ramifications of that. And that is not often seen in a film. So I think that's something that we're all dealing with. Number 1, Brett has, I love this film. I listened to the book on tape, or what do you call it? Audiobook now. And I loved it. And I love the film Annihilation. Brett says, of course, I'm going sci-fi to the max. Scientists are brought in to figure out what mystifying, extraordinary phenomenon is happening in an expanding zone off the Atlantic coast. Self-concealing and evidently so dangerous that no one has made it out alive. Natalie Portman is one of the best, and it also has Jennifer Jason Leigh and Tessa Thompson. Yeah, this was a great movie. And it accomplishes both things that it sets out to do. It's a sci-fi movie with a mythology, which it holds true to and throughout the film to the very end. And it's also a metaphor for, in many ways, loss and abandonment. And it works as that as well. So it gets you in both ways. Brett concludes, it was a good year for movies. That's my list and I'm sticking to it. Thank you so much, Brett. I appreciate your list, brother. Those are some great movies. All right, people, you've made it this far. I want to thank everyone so far for all their great lists. And our final list of the night, Scott 6, baby. Go back and listen to the podcast we did about Galaxy's Edge. And actually, they said today, Scott DM'd me, slid into my DMs, and he said, it looks like it's opening in June, like I thought. So that looks good. So his tickets, I think he said he's going to go in August. So that's what he had predicted, that he thought they were going to do like a soft launch and all that. So that is awesome because we're going to have him on again when he gets home. All right. My favorites, not necessarily saying the best, and they're not in any order. These are 10 shows from Scott Six. Superstore. Yeah, now I have Hulu. I'm definitely going to watch that, but I'm on a sci-fi kick. Better Call Saul. Counterpart on Stars. Nice. The Walking Dead. Still watch it. Complain, but yet I watch it. The Goldbergs. That was great. I watched the first season, but I just kind of fell out on the half hour thing. But I know it's a good show. Maniac. Another one. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. The Americans. The Good Place. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Another Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We got a lot of, hey, there's a reason we all like the same stuff, people. You know, I like it. All right. Now, I'm not going to describe the scene because I didn't really want to look or think about it. Scott says, for what it's worth, The Handmaid's Tale had his favorite scene of the year. But he says the last 5 minutes of the season made him so annoyed, he bumped it off his list of shows. Whoa, that makes me so want to watch it. All right, I like that. But you're going to watch season three, aren't you? All right, everybody. Scott, thank you for all those great shows. I like that you had the Goldbergs in there. You know, we all have our shows that are kind of comforting and that we like and watch. Like I said, even The Walking Dead, I still appreciate it. But I'm never going to say, oh, I love that. Oh, The Walking Dead. But I still watch it. You know, I still watch it. All right. So, Newbie Doos, Andy, who else did we have? Eileen. We had, after Eileen, DJ Tim Hines. Then Gina, I'm going down through the list, Brett, and then we finished with Scott Six. So thank you all. That was a fantastic show. I'm losing my damn voice doing this show. I'm going to be back on Monday. I loved learning from you all. I really appreciate the time and effort you took in writing and crafting those lists, and I appreciate everyone listening to it. I did want to announce a little bit of a contest that I'm going to do for next week with cufflinks.com. So stay tuned on Monday because I was going to do it today, but I want the focus to be on the lists here. So I'll be tweeting about that kind of stuff and all that on Monday. I'm going to announce a new contest for this new month, and I'm going to bring in some NFL peeps. Some people that normally talk sports, maybe we'll talk a little sports. Maybe I'll get Heath Solo. Maybe someone else wants to come on. Send in your Super Bowl picks, your playoff picks. This is going to be a great NFL playoffs. I am really excited. I know not everyone is into the NFL, but this playoffs this year, anybody could win. I was just talking about it with Aaron, and I was like, you know what, dude? I mean, I could name six teams that could win this year that I totally believe would win the Super Bowl. And I love parity in the NFL. I really do. I like when anybody can win any day, any given Sunday, as they say. Well, hey, thanks again. Now I got a second wind. I'm done. I was like, I got a second wind now. I could talk forever. But that was a great podcast. Thanks everybody for submitting everything and gave us a lot to think about and watch. And it just makes me feel great having everybody write in like that. It's kind of a great thing to end the year. Moving into this new year, 2019, we got a lot coming up. And I'm also going to be in the coming week or so previewing what's coming out in this kind of second season, this new winter season. You got a lot of shows premiering. And we're going to be on doing True Detective. So keep a watch for that. Thanks again for listening, everyone. DVRpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter @DVRpodcast. Check out DVR Podcast on the interwebs, baby. Patreon.com/DVR. Love y'all. Have a great weekend. Peace.
Hi, guys. It's me, Lachlan. No, me and Dad are recording a podcast, but I just wanted to say hi. I'm watching my videos, and I'd like Beyblade. Add Beyblade. Bye.